Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording, and today we'll learn about one of the names of Allah, which is Al-Wakil. Al-Wakil means the one we depend on. And this is very tricky, very, very tricky. The ones we depend on. How much can we depend on Allah? Can I depend on Allah to vacuum my carpet? No. Can I depend on Him to wash my dishes?
No.
Then what does it mean depend on Allah if Allah is not going to do something for you? It is depend. Go ahead.
I think if you're caught in a bad situation, then maybe you can pray to Allah, and maybe you can just depend on Him to help you.
Exactly. However, and regarding washing dishes and cleaning carpet, how do you depend on Allah on those? Washing dishes and cleaning carpets. Then you depend on Allah
to
make your...
Right? Raise your hand. I know. Go ahead.
Maybe
Actually, no. The thing that you ask, that you will get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is... Go ahead and write. Is tawfiq. Is what? Tawfiq. What is the meaning of the word tawfiq? Who knows, smart girls? Who knows what's the meaning of the word tawfiq? It means make your effort successful. Make your effort successful. Okay? You could vacuum the carpet and the carpet doesn't get clean. So your efforts fail. Your effort is a waste. Got it? So you do the thing and you say, Ya Allah, let my efforts be successful. Got it? So you vacuum the carpet and you say, Ya Allah, let my efforts be successful. So you vacuum the carpet, you wash the dishes and you say, Ya Allah, make my efforts successful. And this is the way to depend on Allah. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a very famous story. I don't know if you know it or not. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had an Arabian guy. And this Arabian guy was going into the masjid, and he did not tie his camel. He left his camel without tying it. So if you don't tie the camel, what's going to happen to the camels? The camel will run away, right? If you don't tie the camel will run away. Am I right?
Yeah. Yes.
You have time for this other than this class. So you're going to learn really the meaning. A lot of people are confused about tawakkul on Allah. They think, okay, my son is sick. I say, okay, I'm doing tawakkul on Allah. Allah is going to heal my son. No doctor, no medication. And this is true, people. If you hear the news, there are people who think that way. Today.
No, we can't be strong.
You see what I'm saying? So, the Arabian guy here came to the masjid, dragging his camel behind him. He leaves the camel on the door without tying the leash of the camel, and then he goes into the masjid. Who notices that?
Prophet.
So told him, come. Why didn't you tie your camel? He said, because I am depending on Allah to protect the camel. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no. Tie the camel and depend on Allah to make your efforts successful. In other words, use your heart to depend on Allah, but use your brains and muscles to what? Tie the camel. You got it? So, depending on Allah is the job of what? The heart.
Can I drink water?
Depending on Allah is the job of the heart. Right? Now, doing your job, doing your part, it depends on your muscles and brain. You got that part right? So, the Prophet basically told him, you tie the camel and depend on Allah. Because tying the camel requires, you might tie the camel and the camel will run away. And tying will fail, right? Isn't that possible? You might tie the camel and somebody comes and ties the camel and take the camel away. Sometimes you tie the camel and the leash is too weak, it cut off, and then the camel will run away. All these possibilities. So when you tying the camel, you are saying,
Don't say, I'm tying the camel. Then what is left for Allah to do? Can you say that? I tied the camel. So what is left for Allah to do? Can you say that?
No. Because you can tie the camel and the camel can still run away. Because Allah might make your effort not successful. There is a good famous example of this in Titanic. You guys, some of you watched the movie Titanic. And skipping the first part because the first part is very dirty. In this Titanic movie, what happened in this Titanic movie? The guy, or actually in the Titanic story, the guy, he was very, very intelligent engineer. And he designed the ship, built the ship from steel plates. From steel what? Steel plates. He built it from steel plates. And it was, he built it from steel plates, and he was a very smart, good engineer. He did a very, very good design for the ship. And then when the ship was leaving, he said, he looked at it and he said, even God can't sink it. Even what? God can't sink it. Aha. Uh-huh. So, even God can't sink it. What does this sound like? Sound like arrogance? Sound like misunderstanding? You say, I did the good design. So what is left for God to do? Actually, if God tries to sink it, he won't be able to. Then what happened? Why Allah made him fail? To give a lesson to humanity and to... Allah made it fail. How? For every act, there is something called probability of failure. Probability of failure. So, you can do your homework, but you can forget it home. So that's failure, right? You can do your homework, but the dogs eat it.
That's actually happened to somebody.
Yeah, it's a very possible thing. That's why people are like, oh, my dog did my homework. It's a logical answer. Because it can't happen.
Yeah, but it usually doesn't.
But usually it's an excuse. Just like the excuse, universal excuse, I'm busy. This is universal excuse, can work everywhere. Can I get you to sit here? Universal excuse. Yeah. Got it? Okay, so this is what happened. He used to put plates together using steel plates together using rivets. So this is a steel plate, and this is another steel plate. He ties them together using rivets. Rivets are like bolts. They tie down, they clip two pieces of steel together. Now, he does something called quality control. Quality control is that you test the rivets and make sure you test a sample of the rivets and make sure they are good, right? So now he does test the sample, and it shows it's good. However, it happens to be a bad group of rivets that were not tested that went into the ship, and they were not caught. They were not caught. So what happens that he was so, the driver also, the captain was so arrogant, so he drove over the speed limit, and then he didn't care about all these icebergs. He said, well, yeah, the boat is made out of steel, so it can take care of any iceberg. And then what happened is that the iceberg hit the boat where? In this location. In the location where he had the bad rivets. See how Allah got him? This is called probability of failure. It doesn't matter how perfect your job is, you can fail. In the business, for example, when you start a business, or let's say in the stock market, you buy a stock low and you sell it high to make money, right? But there's a big probability of failure. What? You buy the stock low and you sell it what? Lower. Got it? So that's called probability of failure. Probability of failure depends on the proficiency, how how smart is the person, how good a person is. This is called probability of failure, depends on that. So this guy was a smart engineer, but he fell into this probability of failure. So then he should have done what? He should have built the ship the way he did and say, Ya Allah, I depend on you to protect the ship. I depend on you to what? Protect the ship and make my effort successful. Did he do that?
No.
He started it. Milton started and had like his cigar like this. Even God can't think it. Like that. I remember seeing it. Said, you did the fatal mistake. And Allah taught him a good lesson. So this is how to depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's to depend on Allah to make your effort successful. Yes, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was going by the masjid and he found a group of guys sitting around, begging for food, and or waiting for somebody to come and give them food. So Umar ibn al-Khattab came and he said, why are you guys here? Why don't you get up and get a job? They say we are depending on Allah to feed us. They say what? We're depending on Allah to feed us. Who knows about Umar ibn Khattab? He's the second Khalifa, right? What is about his personality?
Anybody can describe him. You were there in the back.
He was very intimidating personality.
Very tough.
Okay, tough, intimidating.
Very tough and rough.
This side of the room.
And rough.
Rough.
Strong.
Strong.
Tall.
Oh, this is the homework from Teresa.
You email it to me.
Yeah.
You email it. Scan it and email it.
And
tell your father, he knows how to do it.
Now it is the couple weeks into school. And I hope
okay. Now let me tell you what Umar ibn al-Khattab did. He always used to carry a stick. So guess what he did? He had a stick with him, like this.
Yeah.
Then he said, you guys depend on Allah. Okay.
Whack.
Boom. Whack. You depend on Allah still? Yes. Boom. Whack. You depend on Allah? Yes. Boom. Whack.
Yeah.
Until then, at the end, he said, what, Amir al-Mu'mineen? He said, depending on Allah means to do work and pray for Allah to make your effort successful. The sky doesn't rain chicken meat or burgers. The sky doesn't rain that. So you need to go and get it. So if you say, if I have to work for money, then what is left for Allah to do? What is left for Allah to do is everything, which is make tawfiq, or make your efforts to get this money is tawfiq. Now, there are two extremes when handling this issue. The first extreme are the materialistic people, that mostly atheists. They say, when I get sick, I go to the good doctor, I get a good medicine, I become well again. I recover from my sickness. And then you ask him, who gets credit for your recovery? He says, the good doctor and the good medicine. Come on, Only the doctor and medicine, yeah. Only the good doctor and the good medicine brought me my health. I was so lucky that I got a good doctor and a good medicine.
Even the most powerful people in the world can't fix their illnesses because some things are just infixable. And,
unfixable, not infixable.
Unfixable. And so, yeah, it drives them up the walls because they have all this money, all this power, and they just can't fix it.
You got it? So now this is one extreme. Another extreme is that person doesn't go to the doctor and doesn't take medication. So he says, I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to take medications.
That's
I depend on Allah. Look at the trick. He says, I depend on Allah. Who gave me the sickness? Allah. Who can take it away? Allah. Why do we need the doctor and medicine? This is the other extreme from the right. So you have two extremes. Muslims are in the middle. Meaning what? Go see the doctor and go take the good medication. See a good doctor and take good medication. And depend on Allah to make the effort of the doctor successful and the medication effective. Because you can go doctor and good doctor and take a good medication and you still die. Why? Because Allah didn't make tawfiq. So now you know the word tawfiq. Which means makes your effort what? So what is tawfiq? Makes your effort successful.
But what about... Like,
so when you say who gets credit?
Allah and the doctors.
Yeah. Allah first, and then the efforts of the doctor and the efforts of the medications. Go ahead.
What about the people who have cancer, like little kids who have cancer, and then their parents like... pray and ask to cure
it. Don't read the book now. You can read it later. Okay. And then open it again.
Can you please put it away in your backpack? Thank you.
Okay. So what did you say again?
I said, what about the people who, like, kids that have, like, cancer and stuff, and their parents, like, pray, and everyone prays, and then they don't get cured?
It's out of Allah's wisdom, right?
It's Allah, depends on Allah's will. Allah might make them die, or might make them live. Allah has the wisdom to decide. However, what's your job? What's the max you can do?
Pray and
go to the doctor and take the medicine. Right? That's the max you can do. And then you leave everything to Allah. Allah decides whether he lives or she lives or not. Or he, she dies. Got it?
Uh-huh. And so when it comes to Easter season, and so when your parents are like, get a flu shot! And you're like, well, if Allah's going to make me sick in the first place, then why would I want a flu shot? Take the flu shot, guys! Okay, I'm going to be trapped inside the same room as you, and I don't want to catch you guys' colds. Okay? Take the flu shot. That we got that down.
So Islam tells you, do your part. And Allah takes care of everything. Do your part. So to depend on Allah, you need to go see the doctor and take the medication. If you don't, then you did not depend on Allah. Then you're stupid. An idiot.
Stupid.
And you did not depend on Allah. And Allah is not going to save you. Most likely. I mean, it's up to Him. But most likely Allah will consider it a bad thing to do. In the eyes of Allah, will be a bad thing to do. You got it? So, I can't sit and say, okay, I'm not going to wash the dishes. Allah depends on Allah. He's going to wash it for
magic.
You. Then you tell Him you're dumb. It's not going to happen. Allah's not going to wash them for you. You need to do it. And depends on Allah to make you tawfiq. Tawfiq. Tawfiq means make the... depend on Allah to grant you tawfiq. Tawfiq, make your effort successful. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people who want to be rich, they don't realize that Allah can make people rich and poor like that. If Allah wants to make you rich, Allah will make you succeed in your business. You do a business and it succeeds, and you make money. If Allah wants you to be poor, then Allah will not you succeed, will make you fail. You make business and you go out of business. It's all in the hands of Allah. So do your business and do what you call do your homework. And then depend on Allah. Do the business and then depend on Allah to make it successful. Let's learn how did the Prophet Muhammad understood the name Al-Wakil. Because, implemented the name Al-Wakil. Because it was our role model. Okay. Now Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in Mecca. He was preaching Islam, right? The Arab lords, did the Arab lords like it or not? Did the Arab lords like Prophet preaching Islam?
Guys, no. Easy question.
No.
No. Okay. So they didn't. Okay, so they didn't like it. What did they do?
They tortured him.
Yes.
And the people who followed him.
Why couldn't they kill him in the first place?
Because he was a merchant.
Like Islam,
and merchants have. And because he was a merchant, and merchants have high status. And if you kill him, then a lot of people will be upset, and then they'll like riot, and then lots of bad stuff will happen.
Okay. There's something called, there's something very close to what you said. There's something in the old days called tribalism. Tribalism meaning what? Means anybody from my tribe, can't be wrong. And if anybody from another tribe killed one person of my tribe, we'll go into war for revenge. Okay, so that tribalism was the law of the land at that point. So... Quraysh, Arab lords, could not kill the Prophet because they were afraid that his clan, which is the clan of Banu Hashim, his clan is going to revenge for the Prophet, and this is going to cause civil war to happen in Mecca. So now the shaitan inspired them with an idea. What is the idea? Is to get a person from every tribe, to get 40 people from 40 different tribes. 40 strong people from 40 different strong tribes. They surround the house of the Prophet, and when the Prophet leaves, they kill him. Go ahead.
Kill war against 40 people.
Don't erase this instead of your thing, my brother.
So then the Prophet, then they kill him. So that's what they planned. Isn't that a nice plan?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a wicked, wicked. Wicked plan. Yeah, it's a wicked and awful plan. It's a wicked and awful plan. Now, they decided that when they heard that the Prophet is traveling to Medina. Now, did the Prophet just decide to go like that? No. The Prophet made preparations. Preparations to do for things before he left to Medina. What are these preparations? Number one, Medina is south of Mecca or north of Mecca?
South, no wait, yeah, south, no wait, I'm not sure.
North. Medina is north of Mecca.
Guys, wake up!
Huh? I'm awake!
He's the only one that's awake.
That's not true.
Here, look. This is the Arabian Peninsula.
Okay. You should draw it, I'll draw it, can I draw it?
This is the Arabian Peninsula. Mecca is on the north, as in the south, and Medina is on the north. So Medina is north of Mecca.
Not on the board, on your notebook.
No, it's on the board side. Why? It'll take
5 seconds. It looks like this. Like this. This is the Red Sea. This is the Red Sea.
We are drawing it.
And this is the Arabian Gulf.
Looks
like that's rough. So here is Mecca, here is Medina. Here is Medina. And here is Mecca. Can you put it right, the names right? Mecca and Medina. Okay. So, guess if you want to travel to Medina from Mecca, which direction do you go?
North.
You don't north, right? Mm-hmm. Guess what the Prophet did?
He went south.
He went south. Aha. See, he's smart.
You can go south and around.
He's making plan. Yeah, he goes south and then...
But remember, no cars, no...
He didn't even have a camel, I believe. So going like this is a very long, hard,
weird idea because a direct route would ensure his safety faster. But this would just ensure his safety, period.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got it? Now, why did he think this way? Because now he depends on Allah by making a plan. So what's the first step to depend on Allah? To make a plan. And then the second step is to pray to Allah to make the plan succeeds.
I can't see.
You got it. So that is the first thing that the Prophet did. Why did he do that? Because once people figure out that the Prophet is absent, everybody will go run north. But the Prophet went south. So he have enough time. He has enough time to go and hide in the cave. What is the name of the cave?
I know this. I knew this.
Huh? Hira is for Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
There's another.
It's a cave, and then like the spider of the land, you know, you can see. And then there was like, these birds that landed. And then they went there and they're like. Oh,
this story is fictitious. Yeah. Fictitious story. It didn't happen. But anyway. The name of the God, what is the meaning of bull? What's the meaning of bull in Arabic?
Bull?
Bull, yeah.
B-U-L-L?
B like boy?
I know.
Thawr, takbir. Ghar thawr. Thawr is bull.
So
thawr
would be like right there.
Yes, ghar thawr.
Okay,
so, so he has the time to hide. Why does he want to hide in Ghar Thawr? Why couldn't he just continue to Medina?
It's like Thor, but...
huh?
Because I think that he would find them along the way.
Because in the first day, everybody's looking for the Prophet. The second day, well, 80% are looking for the Prophet. The third day, 50% are looking for the Prophet. The fourth day, 10% are looking for the Prophet.
People don't have a lot of preparations.
Yeah.
This will be small because I'm just trying to fit in
there. The fifth way, in the fifth day, only few people are looking for the Prophet. After 1 week, nobody's looking for the Prophet. So he wanted to hide in the cave until they gave up on trying to find him so he can travel safely. But here's a problem. Who can bring him food and drink and news?
His friend.
He and Abu Bakr were in the cave. Radiallahu anhu, they were in the cave. Cave Thawr was like this.
I already drew it on the map.
Okay.
Ha! What's up ahead of you?
Cave of Thawr was... This is the entrance of the cave. The ground was like this. So you can stand here. Hide here. The people who are looking for you are up here. You got it?
Yeah.
So the people who look for you are out there and you are inside. When I went to Mecca, Ghar Hira is easy to reach. It's not hard and it's not far. But Ghar Thawr is 8 kilometer hiking. You have to be a real strong guy or girl to be able to.
How many people know what a kilometer
mile
is?
I think I do.
It's the tiniest bit smaller than a mile. So pretty much 8 miles would be 7.5.
It's every
walk.
Every mile is 1.6 kilometers.
I'm fine. We walked for like.
Anyway.
15 hours.
Anyway. So, now hold on. Who gets him the news, and who gets him the food, and who hides his footsteps? Now, the prophet is walking. His footsteps are printed on the sand. He and his companion, prophet, and Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. The question is, who's going to hide this?
Allah.
No. Remember, Allah is not going to do things that you can do. Allah does not do things that you can do. Abu Bakr, help.
Oh yeah, he was with him. Never mind.
A herd of sheep. The Asma bint Abu Bakr, he's the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq, who was with the Prophet. She brought her herd of, she had a cattle of sheep. And she walked behind them. She walked behind them zigzagging like this. So now the sheep are going to cover the footsteps of who?
The Prophet.
The Prophet and her father. Good job. Okay. Now when they hide in the cave, who's going to bring them the news and food?
Her.
Okay. She will bring them the news, the food. And who will bring them the news? Her brother. Her brother will bring them the news. Why is her brother? Her brother was like very young kid. Was like 10 years old. You got it?
That's how my sister is.
They 10 years old. Her brother was 10 years old.
Was it, who was this? Was this Fatima or Abu Bakr's?
This is Abu Bakr's son. Fatima, the other one is Asma. Asma bint Abi Bakr was the one with the cattle of sheep.
Okay.
And then her brother, 10 years old. So why is he good to get news if he's 10 years old? Because he goes to the place where the bad guys meet and conspire, where the Arab lords meet and conspire, and then what?
The little kid, nobody.
Listen to them. Pretends playing. Pretends playing, but he's actually
listening.
See, children play a very important part.
They didn't care about him. They said he's a little kid.
What's he gonna do?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're smart. What is he going to do?
It's just logic.
Yeah. So that's it. Well, we're saying logic here, but a lot of people have the screensaver. A lot of girls have screensaver turned on. We want to turn off the screensaver.
As in, wake up, guys. Translating into your phone. Get it? Because when your screensaver is when your computer is sleeping,
yeah,
this is turned off.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get it.
More preparations. That the Prophet did. What are the more preparations that he did? He also asked Ali ibn Abi Talib to sleep in his bed.
Oh yeah, I know this. Really?
Yeah, why?
So that when they try to get in, it will be so that they'll think it's him.
Yes, when people peek from the window, hey, Muhammad is still asleep, like the door like this. And then they beat from it. Say, okay. Ah, Muhammad is still asleep,
because
guys. Yes, so they will. And Prophet and Ali radiallahu anhu was looked like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were because he was his cousin, so they pretty much looked the same. Not really the same, but close enough that you can't distinguish them. And remember, those 40 guys haven't seen the Prophet a lot. Some of them never even seen the Prophet. So when they see someone sleeping in his place, they would assume it's the Prophet still there. So by the time they figure out this is not the Prophet, Prophet would be far away. Very far away. Far away. Very, very far away. You got that?
Yes.
Okay. So now, what else did the Prophet do? He made a deal with a guide man. Do you see this route here? Do you see this route? It's not conventional route. So the Prophet needs a guide man to meet him somewhere here and take him on this very unusual route. So he's safe. So he makes a plan. Unusual route and guide man that takes him through this unusual route. Also, the Prophet used... People used to trust the Prophet with their belongings. There were no banks these times. So for example, if I'm traveling into a far land, I go to you and say, can you please hold my camels for me?
Pickles?
Can you please hold my gold for me? Can you please...
Hold my pickles.
So in sequential order, the Kuffar wanted to kill Prophet Muhammad SAW, so... In the night, they sent 40 men from different tribes to surround his house. Prophet Muhammad was created by Allah, in which he depended on Allah. Sorry, blocking that. And then he, Allah helped the Prophet.
Go ahead. I'm just very tired. I just want to take a rest.
Okay, so then the Prophet was alerted, so he pretty much got Ali, which was his cousin, and his cousin slept in his place.
No, he didn't.
He did.
And he gave Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also gave the gold he was entrusted with to Ali and told him to return these to the people. To their owners, because not only was Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interested with his life, this is very distracting because I see people getting distracted. Very distracting. Okay, so not only was Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam worried about his own life, he was like, oh, all these people. And so, see, he was selfless at that. Anyways,
many of them were non-Muslims, by the way.
And yet,
Why didn't Prophet Muhammad return the things he's trusted with before he leaves Mecca?
Because people would ask why.
Good job. You made the day. Because people will ask why. Got it?
Okay, so...
Then the Prophet depended on Allah and made that plan. Guess what happened to the plan?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so... So the Prophet, when he escapes with Ali and his spot,
escapes with Abu Bakr,
right? He goes to Cave of Nell or whatever. And so there is a indent in the floor, as you would say, like a hole right at the entrance. But it was really dark, so. There was this guy, I forgot his name, and he looked at the reward in order to find the Prophet and to kill him. It was something like 100 kills, and that's a lot. That's like a lot, equivalent to a lot in today's money world. And so, yeah, everybody likes money.
So, today's camel is about... It's about $4,000.
So that's 400,000 bucks.
Yeah.
So $400,000 for just finding this one guy. And so this guy, he was pretty smart. He realized that if all these people are going north of Mecca and not finding him, and there's a lot of people north, so that must mean he's not north. He must be south.
But he could be east,
so
west, east or west. Or northeast.
This guy hired an amazing tracker, or he was an amazing tracker. Was he an amazing tracker? Or did he hire an amazing tracker?
Oh, they had an amazing tracker with them.
Okay, so this guy was like, okay, let's go south. And so he finds the tracks leading to Cave Fell. Oh no, because Prophet Muhammad and Abu Bakr at the time were hiding in this cave, this very same cave. And you won't believe what actually happened. So in the entrance, I am amazing at English, in the entrance of the cave, Allah had a spider.
Yes, but let me tell you the story of the spider and the bird. When you hear it from Nina, at the end I'm going to tell you that this story is not true. And a lot of Muslims think that the story is true, and they teach it to their kids. But the story is not true.
About the bird.
There was no spider, there was no bird, there's no egg. Allah just blinded the eyes of the people because they came from the bright sun looking into a dark cave. When you go from a bright place into a dark place, you basically are blind.
Oh yeah, so they just kind of went through the cave, right? And so the...
So tell your dad that the... here, what's your name?
Me? What?
Dima?
Dima?
Dina.
Dina.
Dina, tell your father that this story is not true.
I didn't learn it from my dad.
Okay, just tell him you know.
I think he knows that.
So amazing thing, you can tell your parents, I learned something today!
Oh.
Wake up, please!
Right.
We only have a few more minutes.
And
anyways, so this is... There was two of them. There's two of them here. Yeah, so there was two of them. And so they were literally looking into the cave. If they would have looked down, they would have saw them.
They were looking down, but they were blind. Because the down is very dark.
And they did look down. Anyways, point is, didn't find them. They were not there, according to... And so this really smart guy is like, where did they go? Right? I just saw their tracks leading right up to here, and I'm pretty sure they're in here. Pretty sure. Oh, well. And so... Then these troop of men left, and the Prophet and Abu Bakr were left alone to travel north again. Because this was after like a week or so, and so by a week, all of the trackers and whatnot are kind of like, I haven't found any signs, you know what? If I look throughout this desert anymore, the possibility will become greater that I will get lost. And then what good will I do? Nothing, because I am lost, and I will sooner or later die. Great. So, all of these trackers were kind of just gave up, except for maybe a few of them here or there, but the possibility of them finding the Prophet Muhammad was very little. And so...
So the Prophet's plan failed, basically. His plan failed, because they arrived to escape.
And so, but notice how he did his best.
Exactly.
He didn't go, he used his smartness, and he didn't go.
He did make a plan to hide his footsteps. However, he was tracked to the cave. It means that his plan is what?
Failed.
Is failed. But Allah interfered with a special miracle to save him by blinding the eyes of the people who were looking into the cave.
And so...
So So Allah made his effort successful. If it wasn't for Allah making his effort successful, then they would have caught him and killed him.
Plan failed. This is status. So status, plan failed, effort, success. Yes.
Yes. And also before that, even the 40 guys, what happened to them? The Prophet was surprised with these 40 guys when he's inside. So it means that his plan failed. He was inside and they surrounded the house.
And then they all fell asleep.
So now the Prophet planned all of it.
Just like...
all the plan, the entire plan got screwed. Everything that he put in the plan.
I know you guys can't fall asleep in this class. I just don't know why you are trying to fall asleep in this class. It's not that boring, guys.
It's not boring, but it's tired.
Okay. I'm tired, but Allah too.
So am I. I would have loved to just sleep until this very minute. But you know what? I am standing in front of this class and teaching all of you guys. The least you can do is at least pretend you are paying attention.
So guess how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save Prophet Muhammad when his plan failed and the 40 people surrounded the house? Allah now interfered with the miracle. He put them into sleep. So they were sleeping like this. They relaxed their head on the wall.
So we now know that it is physically possible, kind of fall asleep while standing up.
I've done it before. I have.
Exactly like that.
I was told by my brother, and I don't know if this is true, that when I was
which
the
one?
Height of
your
the
brother?
Sleep, second to oldest one.
Oh.
When I was the height of the sleep seat, I just used to go like this and I used to fall asleep. Was that true? I heard this from Ahmed.
Yeah.
Really?
You know, it's possible to fall asleep while walking because my mom said when they were in Italy...
But look at the miracle. 40 sleeping together at the same time and they go to deep sleep. And not only that, but also that the Prophet will go out and take dust and throw dust on their heads. All of them. The Prophet threw dust on their heads, all of them. And left and they didn't wake up yet. Do you imagine that? Can you imagine that? When people are doing important tasks, would you fall into sleep if there's an important task? So if I may conclude this whole thing, I would say that the Prophet plan failed 3 times, but Allah made his effort successful by saving him 3 times. So far we learned 2 times. The 40 people slept. The guys were blinded when they were looking into the cave. And the 3rd time, we're going to share it with you next time, inshallah.
Now you guys can go home to sleep, or on the car ride at home, you can fall asleep.
Thank you.